Today, we move in our story. Remember, we've been looking at these different locations. We're talking about the adventure, the road less traveled, how God takes people from place to place. And so we've already talked about how God sent the angel from heaven to Nazareth and there told Mary and Joseph they were going to have this child. She said, how can that be? And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and conceive in you. And last week, we talked about the day came when they had to move. And they had to make the long journey, the 90 miles from Bethlehem all the way over, from Nazareth all the way over to Bethlehem. We talked about how important this city is in the biblical and prophetic history of Jesus Christ. And so now we have the scene. They're there in Bethlehem. They're in the place called a manger. We talked about the problem of the manger is that even God's adventure, we don't know how it's all going to turn out, do we? But God has a plan and a purpose in everything. Today we turn to this story of the shepherds. And I just have to ask you, what are the shepherds doing in this story? What do they have to do with Mary and Joseph? What do they have to do with any of this? You know what? They have a very important purpose. They are going to be the encouragers that God sends to Mary and Joseph along the adventure. Do you know the adventure gets hard and tough, right? God has called us to a difficult journey. And you and I need messengers of encouragement, messengers of guidance along our way. And that's what's going to happen here as well. You know, shepherds, I heard the story of two shepherds. One guy was leaning over his staff, and he was asking the other shepherd, so how are you? And the guy says, well, not doing too well. I can't pay my bills. My children, they don't respect me. My wife is about to leave me. The other shepherd said, well, don't lose any sheep over that. Anyway, the shepherds. Today, I want to look at shepherds. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. And let's pick up here what we've already heard a couple of times. But this is so wonderful when you think about these messengers of encouragement. And God has a role for them to play in this story. Let's pray. Father God, I pray as we look at these shepherds, as we look at this story, as we continue to see the evolving adventure that you have for Mary and Joseph, Lord, as we continue to see your hand at work in every step of their way, Lord, we see these characters, these new people coming into the story, and it's amazing how you call them on their small adventure as part of the big adventure. Father, I pray that this scripture will encourage us and inspire us as these shepherds were. Lord God, I thank you for the way you use the regular people like us. I thank you, Lord, how you use your miraculous powers to show us your will and purpose sometimes. We thank you, Lord, for this message. This message that is so powerful to them and to us today. I thank you for this mission that these shepherds didn't just hear it and receive it and go, that's good. No, they took it and made a mission out of it. And Lord, I know that you will want us to do the same. So I pray today, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's help. I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Lord, but your words spoken through me, through your Holy Spirit, to the hearts of every one of us here. That we, as the ones who have received your message, have seen your miracles, that we would become missionaries, just as these shepherds did. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 8 of Luke chapter 2 says, and then there were shepherds. Then there were shepherds. Now, wait a minute. Why in the world does God use shepherds? This doesn't make any sense. Here they were, about 6 miles. Jerusalem is approximately 6 miles from Bethlehem. And so these shepherds, it says, these shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. What is their job? I believe they are messengers of encouragement. So let's look at these messengers here for a minute. Just this one verse talks about that they are shepherds. Now, what do you know about shepherds? Are they popular in this day? You see, the thing is, these shepherds are famous for being anti-society. You see, even the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the priests called them unclean because they were. They dealt with dead bodies. They dealt with things that were unclean in the Jewish nation. They're considered antisocial in the whole world. They're not good with people. I mean, they hang out with sheep all the time, okay? They don't exactly smell correct, all right? All of this makes me wonder, why does God use shepherds? And there's some other problems to think about. Think about this. First of all, why does he use so few? Don't you think it would be wiser, God, if your son is being born, that you should have a whole crowd of people? Doesn't it make more sense to you to have the famous and the wealthy and the powerful and the political and the smart and have a whole bunch of them? Wouldn't you imagine when the king of the universe is being born into the world that God would want a lot of crowds, a lot of witnesses? And how about this? Why is he doing all this in the middle of the night? Wouldn't it be wiser to do this in the daytime when you could have a whole parade marching past the manger scene with all the people and all the balloons and all the floats? Wouldn't that make more sense to you? And then, why are you using these not credible witnesses called shepherds? None of this makes any human sense. Don't you love God? In fact, these people, these shepherds, are God's people. In fact, this is how God works, doesn't he? In fact, he loves to take the average of the world, the average things. He loves to take the hardworking people. I mean, another good example of this is what kind of people did Jesus choose as his disciples, right? Were they highly educated? Were they powerful? Were they wealthy? Were they famous? No. Again, Jesus understands what God understands. He's reaching out to the normal folk through the normal folk like us. You see, this is God's people. This is God's way. Simple. Simple people who have the most important component of all. Simple faith. You know what I've realized over the years, the more education you get, the more difficult it is to have simple faith anymore. In fact, so many seminaries are full of people who have lost their faith. They study this stuff so deep, they get so much into all the questions and all the ins and outs of it, they lose any hope of faith. In fact, I love 1 Corinthians 1:27. If you want to write that in your paper, write that. 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, yes, God chose the foolish among us to shame the wise. God chose the weak among us to shame the mighty. God chooses the base things in order to make his name known. Think about it. Even Holy Communion that we celebrate once a month as we remember, he takes the simplest things called bread and wine, the simplest parts of every meal in the Middle East, bread and juice, and he turns that simple into something sacred. This is the beauty of God. This is God's people. And in fact, one more thing just to add to your list, what does Jesus call himself later? He said, I am the good shepherd. He identifies with these simple people who watch over sheep daily. And I really love this. If you want to get into this beautiful scenery, what about this? There's a very distinct possibility What do you think these shepherds are doing outside of Jerusalem with these sheep? A lot of people think that there's a possibility that these sheep are the ones that are going to be sacrificed on the coming Sabbath. These shepherds are watching these sheep who are the sacrifice for the sins of the people out there. And they're the first ones who really meet the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Those shepherds are the ones that get to see that sheep and this Lamb of God. Powerful, powerful scene there. All of this to say that I believe God loves to take messengers like us and both send us to encourage others on the journey, as well as takes people like us and comes and encourages us on our journey. Look what happens next. We go from the messengers to the miraculous. Number two, the miraculous. Look at verse 9 and 10. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Wouldn't you be? The angel shows up, you should be terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people." Now go on down here to verse number 13 and 14. I love this scene here. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." You see, these shepherds were minding their own business. And like we've said before, with Mary and Joseph, this happened again. God came to them. They did not raise their hand and say, "What can I do for God?" God came to them, and he sent these angels, God's angels, to them to have an experience. Now you realize, when it says an angel of the Lord, 44 times in the Bible, do we see an angel of the Lord interacting with men? 44 times in the scripture. And in fact, if you think about Jesus' life, you had the angel appearing at his conception. You have the angel appearing at his birth. You have the angel appearing at during his temptation period. You have the signs of the earthquake and the darkness at his death. Now, not necessarily an angel, but a miraculous sign. And then, of course, at his resurrection, we have the two angels appearing. At his ascension, we have the angel appearing. Do you get the picture? God likes to accentuate the events that prove who Jesus is by sending an angel. You know, if you've got an important message, you've got to deliver it yourself. Here, the angel of the Lord appears. What a powerful picture. Because this shows these people, the ones who the shepherd are going to talk to, they're not going to say, "Look, this is what I think." They're going to say, "God sent a miraculous being, and they told me what to do." And this is important because this proves that this is from God, not from men. So the angel comes. These angels are powerful moments. And look at this good news. Remember, they were afraid. If you saw the Greek there, it's phobeos, phobeo. It's actually phobia, you know, twice. But when he repeats it twice, it's kind of an exclamation point. He says, "Do not fear, no phobeos, phobeo. None of this phobia. Don't be afraid." In fact, I have you good news for you. Look at this good news. Oh, we'll look at the message in just a minute. Sorry. He said, "No fear, I've got good news for you." And that word "good news" is where we get the idea of the gospel. You know, the euangelion. The gospel is the good news proclaimed by the angel, proclaimed by us to others. This is good news of great joy, kara. And then I love this, what I call God's exclamation point. Don't you think one angel is plenty? Is that enough for you? You think Gabriel's enough? Would you say, "Oh, you only sent me Gabriel. That's not good enough, God." Uh-uh. God doesn't just do it that way. He could have just said, "Hey, I sent you Gabriel. Only my number two guy." But just because he can, just because he wants to put an exclamation point in the minds and hearts of these people, and I believe because of his son, in honor of Jesus' birth, The story tells us that the Jews would commonly send heralds at the birth of a baby. They would send people to sing outside the door of a place where a baby's born. And so in a whole village, you would know when someone's born because you would have this group of singers outside the door singing, praising God for the birth of this baby. Well, in my opinion, this is what God is doing. Just because He can, He sends a whole host of angels, not just one, but a whole host. The word there is plethoros. Guess what we get word from that? A plethora, a plethoros of angels, a whole host of them. So imagine they're looking at this one, they're like, oh my goodness. And then the whole heaven opens up and they're like, oh my goodness. The whole heavens open. Millions of shining angels revealed to their eyes. And then if that wasn't enough, we have the hallelujah chorus going on from these angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom His favor rests. Can you imagine this song? Can you imagine this moment? These young, educated men, uneducated men who don't hang out with people who are not very wise in this world, and they have been given a gift of revelation that came from God. And they were truly changed. You know what? Anytime you have an experience with God, a real experience with God, you'll never be the same. Don't you agree? People can talk about moving in and out, what they believe and what they see, what they read the Bible, all that stuff. But you can tell when someone has an encounter with God. In fact, you remember in the New Testament when the Sanhedrin talked about those uneducated, foolish disciples. Because they said, how are they doing this? How can they do this? And remember what they said? Because they have been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, when you've had an encounter of God, you're changed. So this exclamation point, God says, boom, guys. Here's my message to you. Now, what is that message? Look at this wonderful message here. We have the messengers, the miracles. Let's look at the message right quick. Look what He says. Today. Oh, man, the Kairos moment has come. Remember, friends, for 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, there's been no scripture, no prophecy. That intertestamental period has been a dead time when God has not spoken to His people. There's been no prophets, no scripture, no miracles, no nothing. And suddenly, today, what a great day, this very day. Now, see, it's also good they're only 6 miles away because they got to go from here to there in one day. Okay? Because I believe it was that very night, that very day, He said, look, over in Bethlehem, right over here in Bethlehem, something important has happened today, this very day. This is the day, the Kairos moment. What's happened in this town of David, so that's Bethlehem, He says, a Savior has been born. The word Savior is the role. You remember, a Savior is one who delivers another out of bondage. This is what Moses was called when he delivered the people out of Egypt. He was called their Savior, and He's a type of Christ. And so a Savior is one who leads you out of bondage and freedom in Christ, leads you out of your bondage. And so He says, look, a Savior. And look at this, I love this. A Savior has been born to whom? To you. Isn't that great? He didn't say a Savior's been born to the Jewish people. A Savior's been born to the Roman government. He's not a political leader who's going to lead you out of the Roman government. He's not a political leader going to lead you in a politics way. He's not a religious leader who's going to lead you in a religious way. This is a Savior for you and for me. Come on, praise be to God for that. You know what? The hardest thing for us to realize is that we need a Savior. We don't even know how lost we are. We don't even admit how much in bondage we are. But we need a Savior. They need one, and we need one today. More than that, though, not just a Savior, And he says, he is the Christ, the Messiah. Hey, Christos. This is the word Messiah is power-packed because this was the word, the idea the Jewish people in the whole Old Testament have been looking forward to. All the way back from the book of Genesis, we see the very first promise that he will bruise the heel of Satan, that he will attack and defeat Satan back in Genesis. The people have been waiting for this Messiah to come. And now the angel says, this is the Messiah. The Messiah. I want you to notice it says the Messiah here, the Christ, not a Christ, but the Christ. The Messiah. So in other words, this is the recognition that this is the one, the anointed one of God, who has been waiting throughout the thousands of years of Old Testament history to come into this world. The angel declared it. Some people say Jesus never declared his own messiahship. People say that Jesus never said, I am the Messiah. He only said that he is God. He only said that he's one with God. He's only said that he's come to live and die and serve and all the things that a Messiah would do. But here the angels make it clear that this Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one who the people have been waiting for throughout history. And then one more thing. So he's a Savior, he's a Messiah. Look at this last one. And he is the Lord, the Kyrios, the ruler. So we have the role, the recognition, and now the ruler. The Lord. He's the Lord over everything. The Lord over all creation. And the Lord over all those who say yes to his name. Do you get this? You want to know what your and my message is to the world? It's right here in verse 11. It's right here in verse 11. Maybe not today. But we know a day when the Savior was born. He is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. That is our message. Now, I love it. These guys, like I said, they didn't just take this message in and go, that's interesting. Thanks for telling me. So many of you here today might just do that. You go home and say, okay, that was good. Or that was okay. Just take in the message. Look what they did. Verse number 15, when the angels had left them, first of all, they got up off the ground. They probably wiped the sweat off their brow. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, look what they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Number one, they had to confirm this truth personally, didn't they? They said, hey, let's go and see. We got to go confirm this. I mean, if they get to Bethlehem, if they get that little 9-mile journey, and if there is no baby and no manger and no anything, then all this is a bunch of craziness. And I told you last week, why did God have to put Jesus in a manger? Why? Look what he says here. This will be a sign to you, shepherds. What's a sign? You will find a baby wrapped in those cloths and lying where? In a manger. So now the shepherds who know mangers, that's what they deal with all the time. This is a feeding trough. They understand this. And so they're going to Bethlehem, not looking for someone in a house, not looking for someone in a palace, not looking for someone in a fancy place. They're looking for a baby that happens to be in a feeding trough. Now, that's pretty obvious. So, this guy is here. We'll let this guy represent. This guy, these shepherds, they run to Bethlehem. And they're looking around everywhere, they're checking every feeding trough they know in Bethlehem. And finally, they come upon this one. Oh, my goodness. Look what it says next. When they had seen him, and so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They found him. In other words, they just proved
what the angel said was absolutely true. He said, this will be a sign to you. Again, God gives us points and signs to look at and shows us what is real and what's not. He gives us those signs, and to them a supernatural sign like this. And so they went and they found exactly what the angel had said. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And look what they did next. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, they spread the word. They got so excited about what they had seen and heard. They could not help it. Do people have to beg you to spread the word about what you heard and seen? Yes, but we shouldn't have to. In fact, you remember my saying, you're getting tired of hearing this from me, but it's absolutely true. If you're not convinced, you're not contagious. If you don't believe it with all your heart, you're not going to be able to convince anybody else to believe it with all their heart either, right? But if you do, if you've seen it, if you've experienced something real, if you've seen it, if you believe in Jesus, if you can know that he's in your heart, it should not be a problem telling other people. Matter of fact, they're going to look at your face and go, what's wrong with you? Why are you glowing right now with everything that's going on in your life? Are you having a rough time? I know you're going through a lot of hard times, but I see a glow on your face. What's the deal with that? And then they'll ask, won't they? See, the truth is, these shepherds were forever changed by this event. And see, everybody was amazed. Why? Because these guys don't hang out with people. These guys are not public speakers. These guys are antisocial. They're out with sheep all the time. And so people say, why are you coming into my town telling me about this? I can't believe that God would come to you. And they're like, look, I can't believe he came to me either. But the point is, he did. And not just him, but I saw angels and angels, and they were praising God. And then he said, hey, if you go to that town, there's going to be a child laying in a feeding trough. And I said to myself, there's no way that the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lord, was going to be laying in a feeding trough. And sure enough, we went over and we checked every one, and we found them. Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a feeding trough. This is true, folks. They realized it and they were changed. Look down at verse 20. When the shepherds returned, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow. Now, a verse that's often skipped past is verse number 19. I just want to spend a minute there because this is really part of our point today. Remember this verse. Verse 19 says, but Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. I began to think, what's going on here? Why is she treasuring these things? And I realized that, you know, God sent these shepherds as a ministry of guidance and encouragement to Mary and Joseph. And I want you to know that God has ways of guiding and encouraging us along the journey of our lives, if we'll let him. In fact, first God confirms his will and purpose. I want you to understand something. We're talking about these big adventures. Be careful that it's not your idea, not my idea, right? If we have this wild idea, and this is what we feel like God is telling us, but there's no confirmation of it. There's no guidance from the Holy Spirit or Scripture or others of this idea. We should not do it. It's just our idea, okay? And this is a challenge, I know. This is what we're going through right now at Wellspring. We're seeking the confirmation of God's will and purpose about our future. And first, I want you to understand, I believe that God gives us personal spiritual revelation. And this comes through the Holy Spirit, but you must add the Word of God to that. And what I mean is the Spirit will never lead you where the Word of God does not tell you to go, right? The Spirit of God cannot contradict the Word. And so you always have to be under the authority of the Word of God and the laws of God and the principles as established here in the Word of God. I believe this is the Word of God. This is the guide for our lives. But a lot of times, I don't know how to apply this guide to my decisions I'm making today. That's where I come to the Holy Spirit. You remember that word comforter? That word comforter Jesus used, the parakletos, means an interpreter of God's word. Okay? So he gives us the Holy Spirit as an interpreter of God's word to confirm his will and purpose when we make these big decisions. But that's just one way he confirms. Number two, I call them circumstantial opportunities. What I mean by this is God opens and closes doors, doesn't he? God has a way of opening certain doors. He doesn't just make it all clear. He gives you options. He gives you doors in front of you. He gives you three different buildings in your area that are possibilities. And he makes you seek him and long for him. He makes you go and try that door and see if it opens. He makes you go and try this experience and see if it's the right one. And you use what I call the peace principle, where the Holy Spirit guides you as you open that door. If you get a sense of unpeace or unrest about it, you need to stop. That's where the Holy Spirit is putting up a stop sign. And believe me, this is important for this reason. Sometimes God's answer is no. Is that an okay answer for you? I don't like that answer. Do you like that answer? No. Sometimes his answer is yes. I kind of like that answer. I love that answer when you open that door and it flies open for you and you go, well, thank God, I walk right through there. That's fantastic. But there is a third option. A third option is yes, but not now. The third option is wait. The third option is not yet. Kind of the yellow light. Not the red, not the green, but the yellow. Don't like that one a whole lot either. But sometimes we give up on opportunities because they weren't open when we wanted them to be open. But God is not closing that door. He just says, not yet. Keep waiting. I'm coming. But circumstances, God uses circumstances. He uses things in our lives to help confirm or deny. Remember, he has the right to say no. If he wants to close that door, you give him permission to close it. And then number three, God confirms his will and purpose also through what I call support and guidance from God through other people, or unity support. Don't be afraid of accountability, friends. We need to trust each other for advice. We need to be willing to share our big decisions with at least a few other trusted people. And if they truly come to us and say, you know, I just can't get a peace about that choice. You don't have to follow their lead. But it doesn't hurt to get their input. And a lot of times they're going to say, hey, I think you can do this. I really feel good about this. And you're like, I don't know. And they're saying, come on. A lot of times they are the push that you need, the encouragement that you need. Look. Jesus had spoken to Mary and Joseph personally. And yet, the thing he told them was unbelievable. That she was going to become pregnant and have the Son of God in her womb. And she wasn't even married. Now, to see the circumstances then move, you know, this census that just happened to happen right at the time that Jesus was to be born. Was that not a circumstantial move of God? They had to go to Bethlehem. They had no choice. I mean, God uses a circumstantial door to force them there. And so they had to go. And then we see these shepherds. What role do they play? Why are they in this whole picture? They are the support that they need as a confirmation of God's will in this whole journey. These shepherds came and said, look, I don't know how, but God chose us, and we're here to tell you this is real. You're in the right place. You're going the right way because God showed us that this child is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord. That's why Mary treasured this in her heart. Because God not only confirms his will, but he also comforts. He comforts us in the midst of it. That word treasure there, suntereo. Suntereo is the word treasure, and it has two parts to it. One is to preserve. In other words, you have to remember these experiences. That's why we celebrate Holy Communion every month. Because we remember what Jesus has done. And we treasure that because we remember it. It's important. But the second part of it is to ponder. So preserve and ponder. And ponder means to keep thinking about it. He brings it to your mind over and over again. Here's what's happening. Here's what's happened to us. Here's what will happen to us. When you're in the midst of this journey and the road is hard and long, and you're saying, man, is this right? This is so hard. Is this right? He brings back these memories of these encouragements and these encounters with God. He brings them back. And that's what keeps you going. I say, hey, look, she's sitting here thinking even years ahead. You know, that night those shepherds showed up, I was blown away. I had no, you know, I didn't know what was going on. Here we were in a manger with my baby in a feeding trough. I'm out here, I have nobody. And I feel like this is the right thing to do, but I just, and these shepherds show up and they say, hey, the angel sent me to tell you, this is the Son of God, just like you thought. She goes, that has carried me through all this. In fact, these experiences of God become milestones throughout our adventure. These experiences of God's become the things that we go back to day after day. These memories in our families, these memories in our lives, we go back to say, you remember this? Do you remember this? Do you remember this? When God showed up, do you remember this? And this is what is our encouragement, and it becomes a treasure. You see, God knows the journey is hard. God knows the road is difficult. It's truly the road less traveled. And he provides people and circumstances and personal revelation along the way to keep you on track and also to keep you going. You know, I'm going to talk about you. I'm sorry, but it just fits perfect. Just a personal example that we have seen happen in our lives in a clear way. You know, the Lord laid on David the idea of starting a foundation called Fred's Kids. And he's related to me that he's like, me? How do you do that? And again, he had a vision that God had given him. But the how and the doors and the processes and all that were not always clear. And then when you get to Kenya, we talk to Fred. All these years, you remember, all these years of ministry, he had been wrestling and fighting against everything. Just nothing was going. He was about to even give up the ministry. Except God brought Fred's Kids into his life in a miraculous way, really. And he said that that turned his ministry. Now, all these churches are starting. All these kids are being ministered to. We're sending 27 kids from this church. We're sending them Christmas from this church. Praise be to God. But all the ministries. And then Fred comes to Wellspring. We get to meet him. And God lays on our heart a whole new vision, right? Maybe, we said, remember last year, we said, maybe we can send a team to Kenya. Oh boy, that would be impossible, wouldn't it? And here we are now, having sent 7 people to Kenya this summer and got a whole other team trying to go this summer coming up. You see what I'm saying? When you see these grand adventures, they seem so impossible at the front. But then people get confirmations, people get guidance, God speaks, and God works around the details and brings the ministry of guidance and encouragement into your life. Opens and closes doors and keeps you going on the journey. I can honestly say that that's one of the most beautiful pictures of the way God works in this whole thing. Just praise God for it. For you today, I don't know what journey, adventure God has for you to go through. I know what he's got you going through with here, because we're going through an adventure ourselves. I mean, I want you to know, and I'm just gonna be straightforward with you, this move will be difficult. It will not be easy. We will lose some of you because you don't like to be messy. You don't like to have everything not. I mean, we have tried our best to make this old worn-out building into something decent. And I love it. This is our building, right? But it takes time. It took 10 years to build this to where it is today. Back in the day when we had oil stains on the floor, and when we had windows over here we had to cover over, and when there was even worse air conditioning and heating problems, and the roof was leaking at everywhere for a while. Those are no fun times. And guess what? That we have that again. The adventure we're going on, even if it's just maybe a couple of miles down the road, will be a challenging one for every one of us. Because we're going to have to give. We're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to watch something create. We're going to have to meet probably temporarily for several months at another location, and we may have to set it up and take it down every Sunday. Might not have comfortable places to meet. I don't know how it's all going to work. I don't know what God has. But there's going to be a day when we are in our new building and we are dedicating it to God. When we will look back and say, do you remember that day when we chose to step out in faith? I don't know what's going to happen. But I tell you what, this is what life is all about. Trying to be more effective in ministry, trying to serve more people, trying to follow the voice of God. That's what we're doing. Lord, I pray for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be as faithful as these shepherds. Lord, we're like them. We are the average folk. And Lord, we have simple faith. But Lord, you bring people and circumstances in our lives to guide our decisions. I pray, Lord, you give us wisdom about how to apply those things. Lord, we cannot do anything that is outside of your will. We do not want to be a part of anything outside of your will and purpose. We want to be centered in what you want us to do. We accept no as an answer. We accept wait as an answer. And Lord, I pray that you will guide us as you guided these shepherds, as you guided Mary and Joseph through this whole adventure. Lord, we need you, your ministry of guidance and encouragement right now. Lord, open doors with the mayor. Open doors with our temporary location. Open doors with our builders and our realtors and the bank. Close them. We trust you to put us in the right place. But I want you to know today, Father, we are committed to serve you wherever and however you need us to. Lord, I pray today for any person here who has not said yes to Jesus Christ. You know, you haven't even started on the journey yet. But I invite you. Verse 11 makes it very clear. This Jesus we're talking about is the Savior. He will lead you. He will deliver you out of bondage. He will rescue you and redeem you like a Savior. He is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting on. Everyone in history has been waiting on this Messiah. Jesus is that one. And if you'll say yes to him, he will be your Lord. The Lord of your heart. The Lord of your life. will be the Lord who loves you. But you have to say yes. So I just pray today, Father, that anyone here in the hearing of my voice, Holy Spirit, just convict their hearts that they need to say yes to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in and be Lord of their lives today. If you want to do that, you can meet me here at this altar this morning. We'd love to pray with you and begin that process of discipleship. And Lord, just to, that we would give, each of us would just give our heart to you completely. Thank you, Father. This altar's open. Just come and pray.
Strip it back to the basics. It's been a crazy year. Nobody can deny that. It's been a crazy year for everybody in this room, one way or another. And for you, it may be getting crazier as we get closer to Christmas and New Year's. But right here, right now, we're going to strip it back to just the basics. Keeping things simple. and going back to one simple rule, keeping Christ first. Keeping Christ first, keeping Him front and center of everything we do. I want everybody just to close your eyes right now. As we enter into this time, we want to keep things simple. Oh, Father, as we enter into this time, we put You first, Lord. We very intentionally put You front and center. We thank You, Father, in advance for what You're going to bring to us this morning. We praise You, Father, for getting us through this crazy week we've had, and we thank You in advance for the trials and tribulations that are coming, because we know that according to Your word, You're using them to grow us. We're going to come back, Father. We're going to come back to simplicity. We believe, Father, that You keep things simple. Life gets crazy. The enemy complicates things. But God, we know that You are a simple God. And so we just come back to the basics this morning, Father. When the music fades, all the strips away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless Your heart. I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You require. You search much deeper within, and through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to your heart of worship when it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made You. When it's all about You, it's all about You. All about You. Can You live in this world? No one could express how much You deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is Yours. Every single breath, I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things happen, You're I'm coming back to Spirit of Jesus, living within us, never to fail or forsake, unending promise, heaven inside. Whispers the sound of your name. Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised. Your wonder, here I surrender, held in your mystery of grace, calling me closer, awaking desire, coming alive.
Good time to stand right here.
Is to come is the one who lives in us, the great I am, Yahweh. He was and is to come is the one who lives in us, the great. And is If I am rising in my soul, all consuming flame, oh, Yahweh. He who was and is to come is the one who lives in us, the great I am.
Father God, stir up that fire in our soul right this very minute, Lord. You are the Yahweh. You are the only God. You are the only one. You are all that is only, that is worthy of praise and honor. You are the great I am. You have created us, and you will sustain us. You have brought us to this place. You will take us to the next place. Lord God, we thank you for your guiding hand, your Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the power of the community of the body of Christ, who works together to fulfill your will and purpose. Dear Father, give us strength. Give us courage. Let us walk with you day by day. Build that fire in our soul. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up within our soul, Lord. Set us on fire for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be to God.